Detroit Lions.
You're listening to the best of the Lions.
Oh, baby, how beautiful is that?
A weekly mix of 97.1, the Ticket's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Time to check in with the coach, Dan Campbell. Dan, good morning.
Good morning.
We got a lot to talk about, right? Big game against the Vikings. We also want to ask you about Jameson Williams. As much as you can fill us in, we understand reports from ESPN suspended 2 games for a performance-enhancing substance. So let's just get that out of the way first. What can you share?
Yeah, I can't. There again, I can't really say anything about it until the league gives judgment and it comes out on their end. I'm not supposed to really comment on it. All I can tell you is we're prepared to not have him, and we'll be fine. That's why we got Leaf and Saint and Laporta and TP and Allen Robinson, you know, among other things, with Dave Montgomery, Gibbs. So we'll be fine. We'll move on. When this thing comes down, if it does, when it comes down, we'll be fine.
Talking about the game on Sunday and just about Jared Goff's performance, I'm curious, 3 weeks into the season and 4 interceptions, and then all of a sudden it's like there was a switch that was flipped. What's been the difference for Jared Goff over the past 3 weeks, insert the bye week, 4 weeks, that wasn't there in the first three?
Yeah, look, I think everything goes back to what we talked about early in the year. And he played good ball, and then there would be, you know, there'd be an interception in there or something. And you know, I think he was trying to force a couple of things. And so, you know, you get a few of those, then he goes into Arizona, and I feel like really calms back down and takes what's there, you know, really just tried to focus on that. And I know there was an interception in there, but, man, it was just so much more of a reserved, clean game. And I felt like that was his reset game. You know, that got him back. He went the other way. And then you really felt like he was going to come out of that and find that perfect balance. And he's done that and then some. So it's a credit to him. It's a credit to Ben Johnson, Mark Brunell. You know, but the guy's just, I mean, he's playing lights out right now. And it really doesn't surprise me. When you see the way the guy works and he just doesn't get frazzled, we're able to put a lot on him, particularly if you can't handle a lot going into Minnesota with that defense, you're going to struggle against them.
Yeah, and they had 2 weeks to prepare for that game. They're undefeated. You go into their place, and all three phases. I mean, that game, where does that rank for you in terms of wins since you've been here in Detroit? That had to be one of the more satisfying ones, I imagine.
It was good, man. I haven't sat down and ranked all the wins right now, but that was up there. You know, anytime you can go on the road in the division, hostile environment, I mean, that atmosphere was awesome. You know, it was bearing down on you, and you know, in the ebbs and flows of the game, and man, you have to get the momentum back twice, once in the first half, once in the second, and our guys just didn't blink. And so it makes it, you hate it during the game, right? You're everything that's going on, but it makes it that much sweeter when you're able to win the game.
You mentioned a couple of those moments. You're down 10-0 early in the game. You're down at the very end of the game, 28-29. What is it about this team? Because we always talk about culture. We talk about character. What was the feeling on the sidelines in each of those moments that gave you belief that this wasn't a big deal, that the team could take this on?
Because you could just see it. You could feel it. You can see it as usual. These guys don't – that stuff doesn't bother them. Like, they just go right back to work, you know. And, all right, something bad happened. Dave Montgomery, he had an unfortunate fumble. It goes back, and defense comes out you know, gets the 2-point stop. And then offensively, we're like, all right, let's go back out. Let's find our rhythm. Well, we don't, right? And we end with a sack, a 3-and-out, a sack. But the defense comes up for us, and big time at the end of the game. And the offense takes the field, and it's like, this is it, man. This is the last possession you got to win this game. And it's just the way we're made, man. And this has been – this wasn't just – this wasn't just formed, you know, over a year. I mean, that's what I'm saying. The foundation of this team, the core of this team, this has been here a long time now. We're going on year four, and we've only stacked on top of that foundation. And so whatever's on there is man, that, it's on solid ground. So we can handle anything. I really believe that. We can handle it. Our guys don't miss a beat, and they really are, man. The mindset is, you know, it doesn't matter what the adversity is. It doesn't matter if it's injury. It doesn't matter if, you know, where the score's at. It doesn't matter if there's suspensions. We overcome whatever it is.
And you guys have made that statement a bunch. It was a early play, part of that 10-0 deficit. It ends up not being a big deal. The fake punt. I'm not going to do the reckless thing. I don't think it was reckless. But could you explain to people maybe what went into that decision? Because it looked like Minnesota was ready for that one. Was it something that should have been killed at the line of scrimmage?
No. We had the look. We'll be better. We'll be better with it. But no, we had what we want. And as you guys know, if we have the look and we have the numbers, and it's just about the execution, then it's on. If it's on, it's on. If it's off, it's off. And I don't care if we're playing somebody that's 5-0 or 0-5. We're doing it. And we'll clean that up. There's a couple little things we can do better, and we'll be all right. I don't second guess that call. It didn't work, and you hate it, and it looks awful. I agree with you. It didn't look good. It did not look good. But we can work with that, and we can get it better, and we can grease it up, so we'll be all right.
The biggest story over the past week has obviously been, how are you guys going to respond? How will the defense respond without Aiden Hutchinson? And yesterday we heard you talk about it a little bit. What's the sense of urgency to add to the defense with just 2 weeks left before the trade deadline?
Yeah, I mean, look, Brad's been grinding on this. This is not, you know, ever since last week, you know, he's been going and looking at really everything that could potentially be available, and so much of it is the making the calls. First of all, who do you like on tape? Who's worth something, you know? And it's not just because somebody says they're a good player. You got to put your own eyes on it and do the homework. And then, you know, where are they at? How much football do they have left? What salary are we taking on? How does that affect us next year, signing our own guys? How much, you know, value are you going to have to give up? So all of that stuff plays into it. But believe us, we're looking, and, you know, Brad's on it, and we'll find somebody that fits us and brings something. Like I say, a complimentary piece that helps that D-line.
I don't think there's a general manager and coach that seem to be on the same page as much as you guys. And I'm curious, when you got to put your own eyes on it, how much of it is for you as head coach when Brad brings you some options? Do you actually, one, have the time, but how much do you have input into it? I see this guy, and yes, this is something that we think we should do.
Well, when it gets serious, he's, hey, check this out, and I do, and because he wants to know that I agree with it. You know, if there's somebody he likes and it's worth it, then that's when I know it's serious, and I check it out, and man, if I like it, we're all good. You know, if it's something I don't like, well, he's not going to force it on me. I mean, that's not how we work. You know, and that's how we've been good now going on 4 years. So, but also know if it's something like that, I don't know that he's ever been wrong. So, you know, I think he and I see pretty much eye to eye. We have for a long time here now. I trust the hell out of him. And so we'll find the right guy that fits us whenever that time is right.
I guess it begs the question, has he asked you to do any intel on anybody? Has it gotten serious even behind the scenes?
Yeah, he's asked me to check something out, a couple of things.
Okay.
Jake Bates.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about him too, right?
All right,
yeah,
I'll jump in
line. Go ahead.
Because obviously it's the first game winner, and I know that there's always kind of there's some angst whenever you're lining up for a game winner, no matter how reliable or how experienced a kicker may be. But I'd like to, I wish I could get in your head, in your heart, as to what you were feeling when he takes the field for the first time to kick a game winner in a division game and with how much was on the line.
Well, you know, look, I trusted him, and I felt like once we got down there after, you know, after Goff made that that big time throw to Saint really got us. That was the perfect range. That's right where we wanted to be. And I felt really good with Bates there. Seen it numerous times, but it was a little bit like, man, Phipp and I were talking about this. He brought it up, and it really didn't even dawn on me until he said it. But I felt really good. But Phipp was talking about when we had our foaling competition in the summer that we always do. You know, we throw at the bowling pins, mm-hmm. the football, the whole deal. And he gets into the finals, and, I mean, he made like three big-time throws in front of the whole team. Pressure on the line. It's not like what it was at Minnesota, but yet, man, that's, you're in front of your peers. There's a lot going on, and boy, he nailed it. And that's what it felt like out there. You know, the guy stepped up. It was his time. He put it right down the middle, and it was good to see. Man, we needed that.
Who won the foaling tournament?
I don't remember who did win it. I don't know.
it's not a huge deal.
Here's what I do know. Yeah. I didn't.
Okay. That's all, yeah. Understandable. I also wanted to get in a question about Brian Branch. It feels like he's collecting game balls. I was watching that two-point conversion again the other day. Can you describe where he is at that position, the safety position? Maybe compare him to some other guys you've seen do it, because he feels like he's on another level.
Yeah, he's something else. I mean, what's crazy is the fact that he has so much room to grow. He has so much room to improve, but you see the production he has at the safety position. I mean, this guy, he's special. He's special. And I think when it's all said and done, he's going to be one of these guys that you look back on and say, man, this guy's he's a game changer. You know, he makes things happen back there. The ball finds him, or he finds the ball. He's got a knack for the position. He's nasty. He's tough. He's instinctive. He brings everything you're looking for. He can cover. The guy can freaking cover one-on-one receivers, good receivers in the sling. He can. There's not anything he can't do.
Now it's time to refocus. An extreme high, an emotional win, you know, last second win. Now you're going up against a team that hasn't had as much success as you. How do you get the guys to be grounded and focus on Tennessee to come out with a win at home?
Well, look, you got to acknowledge it. That's the first thing. Let's get the elephant out of the room. You know, you can say what you want. You see, if all you're looking at is the record of this team we're getting ready to play, you're wrong. You got to go back and look. This is a fast starting team. They've got a physical. They got a physical O line, D line. They got damn good coaching. Big Callahan's over there with that O line, so they'll have a number of things greased up for us. And then this defense could potentially be, the best defense we've faced up to date. And I know we just faced a good one, but you talk about physical now. This Simmons, he's going to bring it, among others. So we got a challenge this week, and we just got to go play our game. We got to prepare like we have. We got to be ready to bring it. We're back home. We've been on the road 2 weeks, so we should feel the juice there and put our best foot forward.
Lions head coach Dan Campbell. Dan, thanks for your time.
All right, appreciate it.
It's 97.1.
It's time to go Inside the Huddle with Lions quarterback Jared Goff. Brought to you by Ford, built for America.
Jared Goff with us here on 97.1 The Ticket. Obviously, big news today, unfortunately, with the Jamison Williams suspension. And Jared, let's just start there. You're a veteran. You're a leader. Young guys look up to you. I know all the guys are pros in that locker room. But have you had a chance to talk to J-Mo or anybody about this?
No, I haven't really. And to be honest, you guys know I can't talk about it. So, it is what it is. We'll see what happens.
Do you step up to reassure the offense and everybody, hey, we still have a job to do, and guys go down during the season, we still got to get this done?
I mean, yeah, there's injuries every week. I don't think, the guy goes out, guy misses a game, it doesn't change our goals or our expectations.
We've seen Tim Patrick emerge a little bit, quite a bit, actually. And now maybe Allen Robinson might get the bump up. What have you seen from him in practice?
Yeah, Allen's been just such a professional. I've been so impressed by him, to be honest. And you know, he's been around the league for a long time, you know, maybe a year or two longer than I've been around, but we've kind of crossed paths here and there playing against each other, and he's always been productive, always been a good player, and but I'd never had the chance to play with him, and obviously now I do, and just seeing him in practice every day, it really is impressive. The way he approaches every single day, and even more so as a veteran guy who hasn't gotten the touches and hasn't gotten the looks on game day, obviously, but he shows up to practice every day. He always does the right thing. He's always where he needs to be, and if he gets an opportunity as we go along the season, it'll be good for him.
Can you talk about what it's like to be on a heater like this? I mean, you played beyond elite a level for the last several weeks here with this team, and you know, as a player in the league, it's got to be pretty satisfying to see that happen. But can you explain it all to us? What it feels like when you're in the game situation and everything's just clicking for you?
Yeah, you know, I don't feel like I am or our offense is doing anything extraordinary or special. We're just kind of doing our jobs, to be honest. And I know it's so cliche, but it really is the truth, and I feel like I'm playing extremely disciplined right now. I think that's the crux of it. I don't think there's been, you know, certain things that, you know, are super managed by me or anyone else. We're just staying within ourselves, doing our job, attacking the defense, applying pressure to them, and we have a ton of good players. You know, we do. We've got a good coaching staff. Ben puts a good scheme together for us, and we've done a good job these past few weeks, but this is where it gets hard now. Teams get some film on us, and it's hard to keep it going, and we're ready for the challenge.
Do you find that's the key? Dan Campbell had mentioned that this morning with the guys in the morning show that he thinks that, you know, initially maybe you were just trying to do too much, but now you're kind of staying within yourself and you're seeing the results. Do you think that's pretty accurate?
You're saying for me personally?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's been a good few weeks, and I'm finding the open guys. They're getting open. I'm hitting them. We're protecting well, and just kind of doing what we should do.
So, Viking game, it's such a huge win on so many levels for the division, the conference. It's just a big win. But let's start with the atmosphere. What was it like in Minnesota?
It was really amazing. It really was. It was fun. That's always a fun place to play because those fans bring it. And obviously with them being a great team this year, they bring it even more. And we're a great team. And so we knew it was going to be a fun, loud environment. And it lived up to the billing. And it was a fun time.
How unique, or do you guys talk at all about that Skol chant before the game where they're clapping above their heads and chanting Skol?
Do we talk about it? Not really. I mean, we know it's coming, and, you know, it's cool. It is cool to see, and it is fun.
With all that said, the sense of satisfaction, I know you've moved on. You guys are on to the next game, but can you take us back to inside that locker room, the sense of satisfaction to get that W?
Yeah, it's big. It really is. And I think, you know, you get three of these road division games a year. And, of course, you want to win them all. But when you can win the early ones and you can win the ones against, you know, a team that's undefeated like that, they're big. They really are. And we'll get them at home later in the year. But, yeah, those road ones are tough. And we've got two more of those at some point this year. And they're always hard.
I think we've asked you in the past about are you a superstitious guy? I think you said no. But are you at least conscious of your routines over the last few weeks and making sure that you repeat the routines that you have going on?
You know, I've had a similar routine now for about, I don't know, 6 years. So I'm probably doing the same stuff I've always been doing. It's not like I'm doing something different. I feel like I'm in a good place, playing confident. Our offense is playing confident, but there's no secret sauce. It's just doing your job.
There was a play in the game against the Vikings where Grenard, the defensive end, kind of reached out and grabbed your shoulder. You stepped up in the pocket and delivered a strike down the field for another first down. I mean, it's plays like that. It I think Lions fans collectively just say that's awesome. But for you, how long did it take you to get accustomed and just as a quarterback, not even just in the National Football League, but maybe earlier on, that knowing that you're going to get hit, you're going to take your hits, but you have to trust the process. You got to trust in your linemen to keep that pocket going so you can step up.
Yeah, you know, it's hard. I think when you're younger, you get hit early on in your career and you're trying to figure out, you know, okay, how long do I have to hang on to the ball in the pocket? And as you go on in your career, you get more comfortable with that timing. It becomes subconscious. And then I think, you know, when you play behind really good O-lines, you get really comfortable and you get really, you know, having a good idea of how long you have. And with our group up front, the group I've had in front of me for a few years now, it's it is a little bit different than the rest of the league, where I do have that confidence in them and comfortability to sit in there and to know where my spot is in the pocket and for us to be on the same page.
The touchdown pass to Amon-Ra, you guys, they crowd the line of scrimmage. Greg Olsen on the broadcast, going to be interesting to see who they bring here. There's seven guys up front. You've got five blockers. You've got David in the backfield. Tim Patrick comes in motion. Was that part of the play design, or was that an option? You said, we better get him in here, and you called him in.
No, that was part of the play design.
Okay, gotcha. And so the throw and the catch gets all the attention. The protection when they rush seven was what made that play possible.
Yeah, no doubt. I think, you know, we knew that they're a zero blitz team. They like to send all those guys and bring them. And when you do that, you're vulnerable on the back end. And if we're able to pick it up like we were there, you know, there's holes to be had. And that's the coin they're willing to flip and take those chances. And it's worked for them in the past, and sometimes it doesn't. We were able to take advantage of them on that one.
It's funny, because when they crowded the line and I saw them bring everybody, I immediately thought, this could be a touchdown, because you knew that they were vulnerable in the back. Were you thinking the same thing? This is going to be a big play?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're ready for those cover zero looks. And as soon as you know it and you know they're bringing them, it's game on and you're ready to throw a touchdown.
You present yourself on the field as completely confident and calm going into the game-winning drive. Now, is that an accurate description about how you feel on the inside as well? And how are you able to calm the nerves and really kind of rise up to the occasion in a situation like that?
Yeah, I do. I do feel calm. I feel like we had the ball, I think, on like the 30-yard line, three drives in a row. One of them, we had the unfortunate fumble. They take it back. Next one, I believe we went three and out or had four or five plays and punted it. And then our defense got stopped. We got our third chance on the 30-yard line. So it was like we kind of were like, all right, guys, like now it's time to go. And, you know, we got those couple big runs early. I was able to check it down to Gibbs for a big gain and then hit St. Brown. It was, again, it was standard operating procedure. There wasn't anything abnormal we were doing. There was no secret or there's no, you know, special thing that we did on that drive. It was executing our plays like we know how to. And for me personally, I try to remain that steady guy that these guys can look to. And, I did feel good. I did feel confident. I felt calm. And certainly when you have a kicker like Bates, you know, you don't have to get very far down there, and we were able to make it happen.
Have you always been that way, or was there a moment in your career, whether it be, you know, little league football or high school football or even college, where you just, you know what, I'm confident in my abilities, I got this, and I'll exude this calmness, and the team's going to reflect that?
Yeah, it's always just kind of been part of my demeanor, part of who I am, but I do think it's important for the quarterback to display that. And, you know, for me, it comes pretty organically, so I don't have to force it. But, yeah, I do think those guys can feel it at times when I am calm like that.
One thing about Bates, Dan Campbell told a story today that Dave Phipp, the special teams coordinator, brought up, that the team had a foaling tournament and Bates made it to the finals. Can you take us in there? Like, did Bates really show out that day and suddenly show he can handle pressure?
Yeah, you know, it's a good story. And yeah, I think so. I think, you know, regardless of what it is, it was, you know, we did this tournament. And so there, I don't know how many teams there were, probably 32 teams. And it's a whole bracket situation. So it gets all the way down to the finals and there's two teams left. And he was on one of the final teams. So the whole team's watching. And, you know, he's not kicking, he's throwing it, but he's still, there's high pressure situations and he was executing. And so, yeah, you can look to that as part of just who he is. He doesn't see these moments as too big and is under control and has such a great demeanor to him for a young guy who's starting out in the league. He's got such a bright future.
Did his team win the tournament?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. I think they did win. He was making some. I think he may have made the winning throw. I mean, don't quote me on that, but yeah, I believe so.
All right.
Who's got the best arm on the team? That's a non-quarterback.
Oh man, that's a great question. So, you know, oh, God, I'm going to offend some people if I say the wrong thing. I would say, you know, Kirby actually can throw it pretty far. Like, accuracy, none of these guys have accuracy. St. Brown will say him. He can't throw it that far, though. Like, Kirby can, like, chuck it.
Jack Fox?
I mean, yeah, he throws it okay. I mean, far, though. Like, Penei can throw it pretty far.
Of course he can.
Oh, I mean, he can do anything.
What can't Penei do? But, yeah, he can throw it pretty far.
Final thing from me, other side of the ball, but what can you say about Brian Branch?
Yeah, he's been incredible. He really has, and I'd be lying if I said I was surprised. Like, he's been doing this in practice to me and to our offense for 2 years now, and then through training camp, you saw the move to safety for him and how good that's been for him. And he's an instinctive player. He really is. I mean, both those guys back there, him and Kirby, are both just so instinctive, such ball hawks. But, yeah, Brian's been a guy who's around the ball. He's got a nose for it, and it tends to make those plays, and I'm happy he's on our side.
Have you ever had run-ins with fans that are fantasy football owners and complain to you about, hey, man, how come you're not getting the ball to so-and-so? And if you had, how do you deal with that? And can you relay one of those funny encounters?
You know, quite a bit, actually. I mean, it's more so like in the off season, like, hey, make sure you throw it to this guy. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll file that away for week 7 when we're playing the Titans to make sure I get it to that guy for you. But no, it's always fun to, you know, hear that, but it's never, ever, ever a considered thought. And I wish everyone the best with their fantasy teams, but I'm not concerned.
Jared, thanks for your time. As always, we'll talk again next week. Good luck against Tennessee this weekend.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Jared.
Jared Goff, Lions quarterback, joining us here on 97.1 The Ticket.
Oh, man, it's synchronized wristband season, everybody. Sweet Jesus.
Get there early.
Oh,
be in
man.
Your seats.
Don't want to miss Sheila E. and her drum. All right, listen, we'll get to it in the 4 o'clock.
I was there for that night.
You cannot expect us to open up with Pistons. We do have to open up on a sadder note, Rico. Dream has died. I do feel good that we played a role in it. I feel good that we drove Max Crosby to insanity, that we got Lions fans to flood social media. But Max Crosby has gone on his podcast and basically just said, I hate my life. I'm getting driven to madness by Lions fans. I want to be a writer. I've had it. There'll be no more. You made Max Crosby sound like Winnebago man. No more.
Did we take it too far?
No, not far enough. So listen, now the question becomes, all right, if Crosby's off the board, who the hell can this team get that makes you excited about Lions football and makes you, in your mind, the clear favorite in the NFC? Who is it? And that's the conversation we need to have. And I think a move was made in the NFL. You suggested this. It's a good idea by you, Rico. Okay. We're using DeAndre Hopkins as the barometer. DeAndre Hopkins got traded from the Titans to the Chiefs. And I don't like assessing a player's value for what they did with their current team. I think it's about how they fit with your team. Clearly, DeAndre Hopkins with the Chiefs, a bit of a quarterback upgrade there. Bit of an offense upgrade. I think Hopkins will be impactful for the Chiefs. I think it takes them from being clear, not as good as Baltimore, to maybe as good. Mm-hmm. It helps them. Mm-hmm. So here's my question. Are we going to get better or worse than DeAndre Hopkins to address our need? Mm-hmm. Edge rusher. 248-539-9797. I'd also say I blame TJ Lang for the dream dying. He didn't do his job.
Didn't work hard enough?
No, he didn't.
Well, you know, he's the Lions sideline reporter, so he has
I don't care. That dead-end gig. He had a job to do. If he truly cared about his hometown, he would have got Max here.
Well, he's the ambassador for the new bowl game.
Please, he's an ambassador for tobacco. To hell with him, his bowl game, and everything associated with him. I want to know, are we going to get better or worse than Hopkins to address our edge rusher needs? 248-539-9797. Go ahead.
I think we're going to get better. I think we're going to get better than Hopkins, because here's what a lot of people, this isn't Hopkins, DeAndre Hopkins from seven, eight years ago. Okay. So he's there because the Chiefs just need some receiving help because everybody keeps getting injured. Xavier Worthy's going to be that deep threat. He's pretty much going to be the guy that gets the first downs for them. But I do think the Lions will go out and get something. I'm so encouraged every time I hear Campbell on our show, on the morning show, talk about, hey, we know we got to do something. Now, there may be a little sense of urgency because you see the Chiefs making a move, and this is what big boys do. Have a need, you fill the need. You don't mess around. You don't play around. You don't try to get some practice squad player. Go out there, and it probably won't cost you any of the first round picks, so fans can calm down. But you see, guy, I'm thinking probably like Zadarius going out and getting him from the Browns. There's people out there that you can get to fill the need, because what you're not trying to do is replace Hutchinson long term. You're just trying to get maybe 60 to 65% of that, of what he did, the effectiveness.
60 or 65%?
Because, Mike.
Come on, man.
Mike, looking at this for the short term. Man. Now, when you put that, because you're probably not going to get Myles Garrett. That's just not how it really works in the NFL.
You're a liar.
Okay.
come on, man. Kenny, we getting better or worse than Hopkins on an impact level now that TJ failed us?
I would love to say we're going to get better. I just think with this front office, we saw it last season when they were clearly good enough to be a Super Bowl team, them just not do anything and punt. I don't know if that's what they do this year. They might address it. They might nickel and dime their way to addressing it, but I got to see it to believe it with this group. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think you'll be vilified for saying it, to be quite honest.
See, I think they will, Kenny. And your problem, I mean, what? Hopkins went for a fifth-round pick. It'll be a fourth-rounder if they make the Super Bowl, or if, depending on how many starts.
How about the Chiefs cheaping out? They could have had Cooper Kupp. They were in conversations with the Rams. They didn't want to give up a two for Kupp.
And that's why I say I think it's going to be better, because people are going to see the name DeAndre Hopkins. Like, oh, my God. But this isn't 2017 when he was the man. This is DeAndre Hopkins 2025.
Yeah, but let's be fair.
He's still good.
Yeah, and I just think the guy's been in purgatory now in Tennessee, right?
He has, Mike, but the skills start to erode. Speed's not quite there the way it used to be. So that's why, yeah, it sounds on paper like, oh, my God, the Chiefs got over.
I just feel like the Chiefs needed a human being.
They did.
With functional limbs.
They did.
To play opposite Worthy and Kelce.
And that's what they got.
Yeah, and he's a high-level contest catch guy. He'll be okay. I'm with you. He's not going to be an all-pro.
Now you got to make sure he's engaged, because he can check out at any moment,
but he's
and
with
just
the
say,
Chiefs
F this team.
Nah, he's got Mahomes, he's got the Chiefs, he's got a chance to win a ring. If this doesn't engage you, quit. Not you, fair. I'm saying. It's just like...
No. I get what you're saying. But before, people are like, oh, my God. You got to go and get Myles. Whoa. If this isn't that same D-hop.
Why did TJ let us down? God, he has no life. He has nothing to do. He's got all the spare time in the world. He's retired.
He's got to go to the hockey games and stuff and children's things.
All he had to do.
David knows about
that. I'm telling you, if he would have sent the text that I had typed on his phone to Max, this would have gone differently.
TJ's going to learn like I did. Never leave your phone unlocked around Mike.
I was just like, look, are you good if I send this to Max? And I mean, he took those big bear paws and he's like, no. I'm like, what are you scared of? There's nothing bad in there. Just told him to act like a man and come home.
Okay.
Dave, are we getting better or worse than Hopkins to address our needs? Come on.
Based on the track record of Brad Holmes.
Don't say it.
Doesn't make splashy moves. I'm going to say worse.
Come on, dude. You guys are killing the vibe today. Are you serious?
Yeah, that's just what I believe
on
his track record.
So give me an example of worse. Like, what is less impactful than Hopkins with the Chiefs? Edge rusher comp for the Lions. Give me that name that you go, that's it? Come up with a name.
I don't know if I would put Zadarius Smith in that category.
I don't think that's fair.
I think
Zadarius is
better.
No, he is better that's than better. Hopkins.
Or at least on par with what Casey.
So I'm going to say Aziz would be worse.
Oh, Jalari?
Because he has an injury history.
David, he'll get hurt on his way to the airport.
And that's why I'm saying that would be worse.
TSA screening. He'll careen off the gate and blow his knee up.
Maybe he's got pre-check. See, I look at Aziz. Yeah, okay. You know what? You're right. Because if he gets injured, he can't help the team.
He's the type of dude who'll get drilled with the beverage
guard.
He's
Davenport. Okay.
He'll be sitting in the aisle seat, blown out kneecap. What happened, beverage guard?
Some kid leans the seat back too far.
No, I will say, though, the airlines need to tone it down a little. They're a little aggressive with that beverage guard. They're clipping people left and right, man.
I think that's how they get back at passengers.
Yeah, but I
I'm sorry, sir. Did I hit you?
Man.
Bastard.
tough in the streets, man. Right. You see people just getting hit sticked by the beverage cart. Mm-hmm. That would be Ogilary. Yeah.
Call me waitress one more time. Okay.
Whoa. 248-539-9797. David, early returns on the ticket text. TJ failed us. Crosby went on his pod. Lion fans, you were great. You did your job. And he said it. I can't open my phone without Lions fan, Lions fan, Lions fan. Love you guys. Yeah, I appreciate it. I appreciate that you understood the assignment. But now it seems like the dream has died. And I got to be honest, I think less of Max Crosby. How do you want to stay with that rat bleep franchise?
Well, that's what just came in. Well, you're a loser for not wanting to come to Detroit. Have fun losing in Las Vegas.
Go now Lions. We start an anti-Crosby campaign. I'm going to start doing political ads against Crosby. Max Crosby hates Detroit. Honestly, the way these ads are structured, you can do whatever you want.
That's true.
Max Crosby hates babies.
Show a picture of him in black and white walking very slowly.
Max Crosby voted to take your automotive jobs. And you're like, wait, he's not even a senator.
He has tattoos. Would you let him babysit your kids?
That's not Max Crosby's real hair. This message was paid for by Rico Beard.
He has too many X's in his name.
Can't trust a guy with two X's.
Getting worse, someone says. Holmes no. has proven that he isn't willing to make the move.
Come on.
At DN, just look at last year.
See, I'm going to stand up for him because we have to stop judging him by last year because I truly believe it's going to be different this year. Because
and that's
I think the
same
team,
thing. We're not going to judge Scott Harris on last year.
Yeah.
Okay, clean slate now, Scott. Agree?
Yes.
Brad Holmes, Scott Harris. It's a Spider-Man meme.
No, it is.
2024. I'm not holding 23 against them.
Because for both teams, you entered into new territory. You can't go backwards. Your team doesn't want to go backwards. You have to go out and address. You can't do what you did last year, and I don't think that they will. The fact that they're openly talking about Dan Campbell is free enough to talk about it on our airwaves tells me they're doing something. We may not agree with it because think about it. We didn't agree when they got Jahmyr Gibbs. We were mm-hmm. like, oh, the running back thing. It worked out. We ended up looking silly because it worked, at least for now. I don't know if you're going to re-sign him, but it works for now. I think the same will happen. He will go out and get somebody.
Max Crosby hates your mother. 248-539-9797. We'll get to the people. We got to start working in reality now, which is just no damn fun.
College and pro weekend takeaways. Up first, Michigan will not make a bowl game. The last time they lost to Illinois was 2009. Rich Rod finished 5-7. The last time they were held to 7 points or fewer, 2014. Brady Hoke, they finished 5-7. John, this team will finish 5-7.
So the five games left. They've got to win two out of three games. It's Michigan State. It's Indiana, and it's Northwestern. I'll take the Northwestern and think that that's a win. But if they play the way that they did on Saturday, they're not beating Michigan State. They're certainly not beating Indiana. So I'm not going to say I agree, but I'm going to say it's not an overreaction.
Overreaction now, but I think the wording here is even more interesting. Will not make a bowl game. Make means you're bowl eligible.
Correct.
I can see a 6-6. I think predicting this game coming this Saturday is crazy. So I have no idea what's going to happen, but I think they could win. I think they can lose too, but 6-6 on the table. But if they're 6-6 and they make themselves bowl ineligible, then is that considered making a bowl game?
What do you mean?
You know what I'm saying? I'm twisting the words around here. They were bowl eligible, but they made themselves, they put a postseason bowl ban on themselves, which I anticipate is potentially coming here.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a different can of worms.
Is that an overreaction?
That's why I said self-imposed before the year.
Exactly. They should have done it.
Speaking of this week, let's just say it. Let's just rip the Band-Aid off. Michigan State will beat Michigan this Saturday in Ann Arbor. MSU is the better coach team. Look at how both teams came out of the bye week. MSU's balanced on offense. They were sound on defense. They beat Iowa without punting, scored on their final four drives with a couple touchdowns. And I love that combination that's forming with Chiles and Marsh. Michigan has no quarterback, no passing game. Back to the drawing board. Now what?
It's on the table. There's certainly on the table. It's something that I'm not. It's not an overreaction. If you can't move the ball, you can't possess the ball. And Michigan State did that against still a really good Iowa defense. It's not an overreaction.
Yeah, how does Michigan come out of the bye that way? 2 weeks to prepare.
Not an overreaction. An absolutely disgraceful performance by Michigan after a bye. I think I was trying to defend Sherrone Moore and say, hey, let's let it play out, in John's words.
Yeah.
And for his team to come out and look worse after the bye is really incriminating. I passed something along to Jim last night via text. Sherrone Moore has entered next coach to be fired odds. And I think that's a little outrageous, probably for now, but it was 33-1.
Yeah, I just think anytime you're getting compared to Rich Rod and Brady Hoke, you're not exactly where you need to be. That's not good company to be keeping as Michigan's head football coach.
But the key was you have 2 weeks, and the first time that Jack Tuttle goes in there against Washington, three scoring drives in a row. They ultimately lose the game because what? Jack Tuttle turns the ball over, fumbles it, and throws an interception. Then you think, okay, well, there's something to build on throughout the bye week. Defensively, you can work on a lot of things. And defensively, there were some things that I thought they did better. And it wasn't the defense that cost them this game. It was a horrific offense. And I know everybody wants to, you know, get on me about my prediction earlier in the year. I've been wrong before. And Jim, let me tell you, I will be wrong again. But I don't know if I was more wrong than I was thinking that this team could be a decent team. Not just a good team, but at least a decent team.
John, they had a touchdown the first drive out of the half against Washington. Since then, the offense has had 15 drives. Only one score in that time. So 14 of 15 drives are empty, and there have been 5 turnovers in the 15 drives. It's a mess.
They look like they don't care.
Well, let's start at the top. All right, and I know I'm not going to spend the entire rest of the overreactions talking about this, but who's been their most reliable offensive player?
Mullins.
Kalo Mullins. How come he wasn't on the field to start the game? How come you don't, until that one drive that you're talking about, it was like it was in the second quarter.
Yeah.
And they start off with 4 Kalo Mullins runs.
Imagine
2
that.
First downs, and then they go to the play action. And I'm watching it. They stick the ball in Kalo Mullins' belly. Linebackers come up. There's Colston Loveland. Twice in a row!
We mentioned coaching. I think this one will be a quick one. Kirk Cignetti is the National Coach of the Year. Indiana 7-0, winning every game by 2 or more touchdowns. They put up a 50-burger on Nebraska. Hand him the award.
Well, Nebraska is the first winning team with a winning record that they've played. He is certainly the leader in the clubhouse. I'm not ready to hand that one out. I think it's a little bit early. Let's see what happens through the rest of the season. But if the season were to end right now, clearly coach of the year.
Let's let it play out a little bit longer. Overreaction for now. I think I sometimes with these things, let's not disrespect what Dan Lanning and, I hate to say this, even James Franklin are doing right now.
Jalen Milroe is not an NFL quarterback. He just isn't a good enough passer. He's had more interceptions than touchdowns the last 2 weeks. And in the red zone, those interceptions, to me, show the gap between him and an NFL passer.
It's an overreaction. He still has plenty of time. It's not like I don't think he's going to be leaving college football this year to be an NFL quarterback next year. He's got plenty of time to improve and work on his craft, become a better passer. I think right now it's an overreaction.
Not an overreaction. Look, I mean, does he tag on to a NFL roster at some point, you know, and he's a backup or a third stringer? Sure. If you look at the garbage that's in the league right now, that spot's there for him. But as far as being a number one, it's not an overreaction.
So right now you think he's going back to school? He has one more year of eligibility.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Jared Goff is the MVP of the NFL. Goff is on one of the two best teams, and he's playing better than Mahomes. Last 3 games, a maestro, 87% passing, nearly 900 yards, 7 touchdowns, no picks, 13 yards per attempt. Oh, and he caught a pass, too, for a touchdown. 3 straight games with a passer rating above 140. 4th quarterback in history to do it. The last 2, won the MVP. Rodgers in 2011, Kurt Warner in 99.
Yeah, I think he is certainly an MVP candidate. And it's, I don't think it's an overreaction.
Who's the MVP right now?
Right now, yeah. I agree. I have no problem saying that.
I agree. He deserves it right now. We'll see how the whole thing goes throughout the season. I don't even know who else you could argue right now, reasonably. Really, who would you?
Yeah, who's number two? The betting odds right now are still Mahomes 1, followed by Allen and Lamar.
I mean, the Mahomes thing is absurd. He is doing what he needs to do, and that's the brilliance of how smart and a franchise quarterback he is. He's not trying to overdo it. But he's not the MVP.
Well,
their defense is the MVP.
Yes, I agree. The defense has really saved the offense quite a bit. He did not look really good yesterday. He also doesn't have much to throw to. He is trying to make chicken salad out of, we know what that line is.
Chicken bleep.
But right now, Jared Goff is performing as the best quarterback on the best team in the NFL.
Two best teams in the league right now are the Lions and the Chiefs, right?
Yep. No question.
Hands down, book it. Both have a tremendous need. It's reckless if they don't address it, in my mind.
Both teams.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what Kansas City does leading up to the deadline at receiver, as well as, obviously, we're going to be talking about it for 2 weeks. What does Detroit do to solidify an edge pass rusher?
The Niners' Super Bowl window has closed. Losing record after 7 weeks, Ayuk might be done for the year. Purdy was ugly. When he doesn't have the Avengers, he's average, and the support is crumbling.
It's closed for this year. I don't know that it's closed entirely, because when you have Shanahan as your coach, maybe they can't win it because he has to coach in the second half of games. But without Christian McCaffrey, and I don't know that he's back this year, without Ayuk, Deebo Samuel, with, you know, he's missed time and missed a hill, you know, yesterday got the illness. I think it's closed for this year.
Okay, so you're talking about this version of the 49ers. So if we went back to the first Super Bowl team that played the Chiefs, to me that was a different version to a degree. They had, I mean, a lot of roster turnover. So I'm saying right now this version, it's not closed yet.
Mm.
I still think this team is going to find a way to get into the playoffs. And when they do, I believe they're going to be a tough out.
Deshaun Watson will never play again. Looked like an Achilles. Non-contact injury could mean he is out for a year plus. Should have been benched anyway. Are they really going to go back to him?
How many years does he have left on his deal?
Too many. My point is he would be a benched backup. They'd have to park the money.
Okay, so he's not going to play the rest of this year. And I think they probably milk it to where maybe he's able to come back December of next year. He won't. So now you're looking at, what is it, one more year on his contract? So, he doesn't play for Cleveland ever again.
Well, and how many years has he missed in his career when you really think about it? I mean, he played in 2020, but then didn't in 21, barely in 22, barely in 23, barely in 24. I don't think it's a stretch at all to say he doesn't ever play again.
I don't think it's an overreaction. I'm going to say it's an overreaction because, ever is you're painting yourself into too deep of a corner.
Yeah, ever's an overreaction for now. And other than everything else you guys said, I do think that it is. I mean, look, he's taking his last snap probably in Cleveland, but I'm not ready to go like all in on that.
Aaron Rodgers ruined his legacy by leaving Green Bay. A Super Bowl winner, a four-time MVP, yet the lasting image will be this Jets stint. He'll be remembered as an arrogant DB who the Jets catered to, gave him his way, and he's still failing in the biggest market in an epic way. No excuses. It's your fault.
I think it's an overreaction. I don't think it's going to tarnish his legacy. He's still one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game. And people will remember the Jets stint. They'll remember him being a DB, but I think there's a lot of people that thought he was a DB before.
He ruined his legacy at the end of his time in Green Bay by his behavior that's just gotten worse and worse and worse and worse. Look, I don't know what this guy's going to do after his career. I have zero interest in seeing him on TV and doing games or anything like that. So I can't stand him. I think he's probably the most disliked person in sports right now, to be quite honest with you.
Well, he'll probably be a co-host with McAfee.
Yeah, McAfee, and go down that road, and he can do that. And I don't know. I think he ruined it long ago.
And those are your weekend overreact gyms. 97.1.
All right, Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket, 248-539-9797. So, look, lots going on this weekend, including Lions game. Let's get to that for the first time here. Lions are 11.5-point favorite over a 1-5 Tennessee team. Here's the thing about Tennessee. Let's remember this. They were trying to win. They were trying to win. They've pulled the plug on the season with the sell-off moves. And remember, they were the team that got L'Jarius Sneed. Remember, everybody here in Detroit wanted L'Jarius Sneed. He ended up going to Tennessee on a four-year, $76 million contract. They signed Calvin Ridley, 4 years, $92 million. I mean, they had a big offseason. And then they get off to a 1-5 start. Now, why are they 1-5? They got a new coach in Brian Callahan who came over from Cincinnati where he was the coordinator of that offense. And they put up some impressive numbers. They have DeAndre Hopkins. They got Calvin Ridley. And quite frankly, their offense has moved the football quite a bit. They are in the top. They're 11th in the league in total offense, which isn't bad. I mean, that means you're getting a lot of yards. But I mean, it's not elite either, but that's a serviceable offense to go with that defense. You'd think they'd be better than 1-5, but they're -9 in turnover margin, which I believe is 31st in the NFL. And a big part of that is because of Will Levis. And he's had some ugly ones. But they're starting Mason Rudolph in this game because Will Levis is out with an injury and
he pulled his mayonnaise.
Yeah. Is that what you want to call it?
I think that's what happened.
So you got Levis out with an injury. So Rudolph is starting and you immediately go, advantage Detroit. But is it? And I'm going to say if Rudolph, like what hurts them is now not having D-Hop. And it also hurts them at Calvin Ridley. I don't think practiced yesterday. I think he was on their did not practice list. Mm. They've started the sell-off, so they've pulled the shoot on the season. But Rudolph last year, remember, came in at Pittsburgh, and you know his touchdown to interception ratio last year was 5 TDs and 1 pick. They went 3-1 down the stretch. Some people in Tennessee were already calling for Mason Rudolph after Levis was 5 touchdowns, 7 picks to start this year. So I think Tennessee's going to give them a fight. They got a good defense, top 3 in pass defense, top 11 in rush defense. They do some things that bad football teams do, though. They commit penalties. They're one of the worst in the league. I think they're 31st in penalties and 31st in turnovers, which are two pretty bad stats to suck at. They lead the league in pre-snap penalties with 19 of them. They've done some bad football things. They've earned the 1-5. And they pulled the chute, but I think they're going to give Detroit all they can handle.
I've been worried about this game all week in that is this a trap game? Because the Lions have the game against the Packers after this one. They've got a game against Houston after the Packers, so it's two really tough opponents. And this is a classic trap. However, because there's so much else going on this week, there's no Jamison Williams. So the focus is on, okay, we're going to have to go without J-Mo, next man up, because they just dealt with the injury to Hutchinson. They're still trying to figure out the defensive end situation. Next man up. Detroit should be motivated for this. And with Tennessee having just traded away DeAndre Hopkins, their number 2 receiver, moving to their backup quarterback, he's the backup for a reason. All right, if he were the better quarterback, he'd be starting, but he's not. So he's a backup for a reason. He may take care of the football better, but he's not going to move the offense as well. And then you add to that, the biggest thing of all, if the calling card is defense, and they just traded away their second leading tackler, Ernest Jones, the linebacker. And Kenneth Murray's their leading tackler. I love Kenneth Murray. Thought he was a great, great player in college. I like him in the pros. But that's all they have right now in terms of if you're going to try to stop that run. So these advantages that maybe not even advantages, but these plus column stuff that you might look at with Tennessee doesn't look so plus anymore.
And because they have dealt away a couple of these players, I can't imagine the morale in the locker room is all that good. And now they've got to go on the road and play Detroit, one of the best teams in the league. Now, it should be an easier sell job if you're the coach of the Titans to say, look, everybody's counting us out. You can do all this rah-rah stuff, right?
Everybody's counting out.
You can do all that. But the second Detroit punches you in the mouth and scores in two of the first three possessions, and let's say they have a 14-0 lead, it's done.
So I like to do this leading up to games, and that is go tune into other markets and see what is being said. And I got to tell you, the Tennessee market, in listening to build up for this game, it was like our show's the last, like the first 15 years of us working together.
Oh boy.
It was all about next year. It was all about the draft. I kind of want to send them the music bed and say, here's something we do. and that is, you know, see where you're going to pick in the draft. Look at the available players, have the listeners pick. To our friends in Tennessee Sports Talk Radio, it's a bit that worked reasonably well for us. But it was all of the discussion is about the future. There's and whenever the topic comes up of the game this weekend, it's Titans are going to get smashed this weekend. I actually think it's going to be a tougher football game than those in the desert think. I wouldn't touch it personally. I mean, but if asked to give it like a pick, I think this is going to be a tough football game to win because of their defense, because Rudolph won't turn it over. Because, as you put it, it's a trap game. I mean, the truth is, in the NFL, if you're a favorite, every game's a trap game. Because in the NFL, if you don't show up, you'll lose. The margin between the good teams and the bad teams isn't as great as it is in, say, college football.
Yeah, ESPN.com has this as a 12.5-point spread, Lions favored.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you have for FanDuel on this.
On our the site that we have used for years,
yes.
It's 11.5.
It is 11.5 on BetMGM. Mm-hmm. So I mean, it's a lot of points. I get nervous when you see double digits in the NFL because it's so hard to win in the league. But I understand why the spread is the way it is, because you're talking about a backup quarterback playing on the road without his arguably best receiver, without their second best or arguably their best defensive player, because they both got traded away, the morale and all that. I'm not going to be surprised if the Lions blow them out, but I probably would be with you and say, I'll sit this one out and just enjoy it.
Well, you know, Vegas has to get money on both sides, right? So they'll put the line where they think that they can get the action on both sides. I'm not as nervous as you guys. I actually expect the Lions to roll in this one, but I understand the cautiousness. It is any given Sunday in the NFL. And you go back to a couple years ago when a team that was rolling in the Lions go to Carolina, a team that fired their coach, had nothing to play for, and they trucked the Lions.
They actually traded Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, they traded their best player, maybe the best player in the league, you know. They'd given up. And they came in there, or they didn't come in there. The Lions went to Carolina and just got trucked. I mean, they got ran. Dante Foreman, I think it was a Chuba Hubbard at the time. They both ran on them, and the Lions lose that game. Now the difference is for me is I think this Titans team is actually given up even more so than that Carolina team. And the bigger reason, this Lions team is much better than that Lions team a year ago was. I mean, DJ Chark was the leading receiver for that Lions team. They didn't have the weapons they do now. You know, Ben Johnson, you know, all that stuff. So I just feel more confident in this team. And I think the Lions just roll. I think the Titans have given up on the year. Cue the mock draft music.
Well, I mean, they may, but I guess.
Well, you have it.
Yeah.
It's not me, though. Yeah, you literally have control over that.
That was a fun bit. I kind of miss it, but we don't have to do it anymore. It was kind of an annual rite of fall. Is you get into start talking mock drafts as early as possible.
Well, now the intrigue isn't who they're taking, it's where they're taking them.
Dude, I do the same thing. Now when I see a mock draft, I just scroll down to see what the Lions are picking.
They 31? Anybody have them at 32 yet?
Okay, so I guess, you know what we have here? We have I don't know if you're exactly in my camp, but I think we are. I think you and I are in alignment on this one, that this one might be a little bit more difficult than the number would suggest. Kang, he's chesty. He thinks he could see why we feel that way. He just does not feel that way. Are you team Doug and Gator? Are you team Kang? 248-539-9797. And give us the reason why. It's Carson Anderson. Your phone calls next here on 97.1 The Ticket.
All right, let's go. You guys are a real collection of you guys are a collection of doorknobs. You know that?
You all know, right. We figured we know how much you loved when Phil just kind of dropped his name in that one drop.
Yes.
So we said, what if we get happy birthday, Mike?
Mike. Don't forget, take your vitamins promo code Phil. All right.
Just wanted to let you know. We all love you here on. Oh,
yes. Rico, I want to start with a positive. We're going to get into the rivalry in a little bit. But can we, I want to ask a question, and I'm happy to get booed out of the room. Boo this man. Boo. If any of you guys or the listeners think this is out of line, that if I'm being a homer, that if I apparently work for Bally, please call me out, okay? But I want to sell you a positive pen. And that is the following. I think there are three legitimate candidates for MVP of the National Football League. And Jared Goff is one of them. Now, I want to give you the updated odds. And I want to completely disregard one human being. If you think it's wrong, Rico, throw the flag. Kenny, David, same thing. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Your leader in the clubhouse, who I am going to throw out in a controversial move, is Patrick Mahomes at plus 370. He has not played good football. I don't care how famous he is. I don't care if he's in the annoying ads with Andy Reid. Bundle Ruski. He's not the MVP of this league, nor will he be.
Well, actually, Mike, you know what? Just in the last 30 minutes, the odds have moved.
Okay, so he's plus 470 now.
Yes.
Lamar has moved to the pole position, I see.
Yes.
Live edits. This is good, though. Lamar Jackson, let's call it plus 200. It's an even number. It's easier than saying 195.
Yeah.
Okay? Josh Allen is plus 650. Jared Goff is plus 700. I am telling you, Lamar, Allen, or Goff should be the MVP. And that Jared Goff, remember, he's the only representative, guys, from the NFC. It's not going to be Jalen Hurts. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be Saquon. It's not going to be Dak. It's not going to be Jordan Love. It's not going to be anyone with the Niners because they're all dead and injured. Guys, I want to know if you are willing to have a conversation about Jared Goff, a man who in the last 4 weeks has more touchdowns leading this offense, 18, than incompletions, 16. A man leading the league in completion percentage. A man destined for the better part of another 5,000-yard season, 4,500-yard season. And he's on the current number one seed in the NFC.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, can we use the words Goff, MVP in the same sentence, or am I now working for Lions.com? Feel free to call me out. We start with the gentleman in the room.
TJ, is that you? No. When I was watching that game, I'm watching Jared Goff, and I said, Jared Goff may win the MVP. Now, at the time, I said Jared Goff will win the MVP, and then Lamar Jackson said, wait, hold my beer. Let me go out here. Five touchdowns. I'm like, ooh. It's a two-man race to me.
Okay.
Josh Allen is on the fringe, and now maybe with the new wide receiver toy that he has, maybe he can jump back into the equation. He may be the one that deserves it the most because he has nothing in Buffalo. It's okay. Really just him. But I look at Lamar, and I look at Jared Goff, and to me, it's a collision course. Patrick Mahomes shows me that people don't watch football. Patrick Mahomes is awful this year. Team hasn't scored 30 points. I think he is the most picks of like all the quarterbacks. Like, he's awful. He should not be in here. It just shows me people are idiots. Lamar puts up the highlight. He's the human highlight reel. But Jared Goff is the model of consistency. When you come out and you're perfect, and in another game, you're damn near perfect, mm-hmm. and nothing bothers you. The Jared Goff moment to me, when I said he was going to win the MVP, they drop back, Vikings come with a blitz, and it's almost a strip sack. Goff shrugs it off, throws the ball down the field, never looks back, never's worried, never's pressured, nothing. I'm like, that's an MVP-type throw. That guy right there, Lions fans, you've been chanting Jared Goff for years. The NFL may be saying Jared Goff at the ceremonies this year.
And by the way, air yards, buddy. Air yards.
Oh,
lots of air yards. He's got a career high, 9.37 air yards. You know that pleases me.
It does.
But guys, tell me, it's one thing to like your quarterback. It's another thing to be happy with him, think he can bring you a Super Bowl. It's another to talk about MVP of the National Football League. Jared Goff is leading the league in completion percentage at 73.6. That's obscene. Normally, 65-66%, you're elite. Mm-hmm. 73.6? I think Jared Goff, Josh Allen, and Lamar are your three MVP guys. And I have no problem fighting the fight saying Jared Goff should be the league MVP right now. So I want to know where you're at. 248-539-9797. And again, it's fluid. Month from now, maybe Jared has a rough month. Maybe somebody else gets hurt. It can all change. Here now, on Thursday, October 24th. Why can't I say Jared Goff's the league MVP?
Yeah.
I'm looking for voices of dissent here.
If you want your Jim Costa value, now is the time. I would definitely buy into Goff because I think it's only going to get better. This because he's carrying this team. And he also has that flashy play when he caught the touchdown pass. So
yes.
It's one of those where...
Mobile Goff season.
Well, not this weekend. Last week he had -4 yards. But we'll get to that later.
we're running a triple option next week. It's going to be amazing.
But when I watched this man, I said, hey, you know what, Detroit, for the first time ever, you have the best player in the NFL since Barry Sanders. That's how I feel about this.
That's how good he's playing.
Yeah.
And we're only, what, a little over, you know, it's a mathematical deal. You're called a third of the way through the season. I mean, guys, you're 5-1. I heard the morning show talk, and it was like a crime if you don't think this team's going 15-2. If you are the quarterback of a team who's gunning for the best record in the league with the best offense in the league, you're going to be in that discussion. I don't care if he's not sexy. I don't care if he's not Mobile Goff all the time. I don't care. I just get tired of finding reasons to not celebrate who the guy is versus look at the data.
Mm-hmm.
His numbers are ridiculous. I mean, he's pacing right now for a 5,000-yard season. He'll have the better part of 35 touchdowns. He will be doing it completing north of 70% of his passes. Do you know who that is? That's Drew Brees in his prime. Was Drew Brees considered an MVP-type guy?
Yeah.
So David, by the way, he's gone very quiet. He's very upset in there.
Well, he's Team Russ.
No, that's it.
He's Team Russ.
Are you mad we didn't say Mr. Dangerous?
No, I'm not upset at all. But I will just be honest. I will be honest. I understand what his stats are. But a little bit of my bias comes in with this discussion because his name is Jared Goff.
Are we like, still
no,
there?
I'm just telling you where I'm at.
It's fair.
Because when you hear Lamar, you're like, yeah. You hear Patrick Mahomes, you're like, yeah. And I'm just having a hard time with MVP and Jared Goff being in the same sentence. But when you look at his numbers... You look at his numbers, he's doing everything that an MVP candidate should be doing. He looks comfortable in the pocket. You said it, Rico. He's efficient. There's no happy feet. There's no nervousness back there.
David,
he's just doing what he needs to do.
He's a flat-out leader. He's a stud right now. He is. And you know what the problem is? It's the same reason that Lions fans had a hard time grasping the fact that, well, that's Sam Darnold over there. but it's Sam Darnold. You know what? Sam Darnold grew up. You know what happened? Little Jerry Goff, he grew up and became Jared Goff. And he's for real now. Okay? You may have known him back in the day, but right now, it's him and Lamar. They're going to be competing. Now, Lamar, you know, he's got Derrick Henry, and he's going to make more flashier plays. Goff is going to be more consistent. So it really depends on, you know, what you like about it. like I say, anybody who's talking about Patrick Mahomes, you can just miss me. You don't watch football.
Now, that is the other side of what I said. Because of the bias I have of Jared Goff MVP, people are only putting Mahomes in there because of his name.
David, if Jared Goff had Mahomes' stats, our phone lines would be filled right now for Hendon Hooker. Okay? Let's just put it in perspective. If Jared Goff was playing the same way Mahomes is playing right now, mm-hmm. people would be saying, it's time for Hendon Hooker. We need to make the switch in the bye week. That's what would have been said. 248-539-9797. Goff for MVP. Yeah. Detroit, you finally got one.
And look, I mean, I'm not telling you you can pound your fist on the table. It's criminal if he doesn't win it. No, I'm not doing that. Lamar's had an incredible start to his season. I tip my cap. All I'm saying is, if I got the best candidate from the NFC and Lamar's the best from the AFC, I can say my guy's in it, and I can say I got a very good shot of getting it, staying in it, because I don't have anyone else I got to worry about in my conference rising up. For Lamar, if you want the numbers, 68.2, 1,800 yards passing, 15 touchdowns, 2 picks. And yes, you do have a rushing component. You do have some flash and dash. But you know what works against Lamar? He's already won the MVP multiply. I do think at a certain point, he's kind of capped out in this regard, because guess what he doesn't win? Playoff games.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that starts to weigh on people. He's already won it twice. You're going to hand it to him back to back? Is that what we're going to do?
Yeah. And he's a fraction behind Goff on air yards at 9.9.
Yeah. Say that again. Yeah. 248-539-9797.
What about the rushing yards? They're close. Mobile golf season, folks.
He's very
elusive.
Yes.
And selective. He just doesn't run, but when he does,
he chooses not
people
to unleash
the and weapon. Watch.
That's right. So just let me live in that world for like one more day. We will get to rivalry week as well, but we wanted to start out with the golf thing. Rico, hit him.
Mike, what are we doing?
We're doing golf stuff.
Be curious.
Oh. Dude, I haven't had the coffee yet. My bad.
You know what, man?
Sorry.
You're a year older, and you're starting to, yep,